was literally just about a year ago, that I went to visit our companion diocese of Western Dominica, and I took with me my canon for finance and administration, Brian Wardwick, and also Robin Denny, who is a young woman in her 20s, and she serves as an agricultural missionary in Sudan. And she came down to Tanzania, but Brian and I flew the 30 hours or so to arrive in Dar es Salaam, and there we rested and waited a day for our other companion diocese, a team from there, from Gloucester and England, to come. And then together we flew across the country of Tanzania on a flight that usually goes about every other day, another hour and a half flight. And we landed on a dirt tarmac, and also on that tarmac were United Nations planes and World Food Organization planes. And I looked out the window and I thought, truly, we are in a very different land, far, far away than the one that I'm used to. And when we got off the plane, there to greet us on the dirt tarmac, were all the local clergy of that town and their wives, all dressed in beautiful matching clothing, ready to greet us. And then after we got our bags and we were leaving the airport, there were 100 plus people there, waving palm branches and waving flowers and singing songs to us of greeting and of welcome. And then we got into cars and we had this parade that went into town, and still people in the backs of trucks just piled in. If you've ever been to Africa, they don't observe seatbelt laws, I can tell you that. Get as many people into the vehicle as you possibly can. And sang all the way in about 3 miles into town, 5 miles into town. And when we arrived at the church where we would have our first reading, again, there were people singing and dancing and waving palms and flowers. It was absolutely extraordinary. And one of the songs they sang was to me and to in particular, welcoming me as their mama bishop. And they call their bishops father bishop. They don't have women clergy, not just bishops. They don't have women deacons or priests in this diocese that we partner with. And the whole thing, and in particular that song, was such an incredible gesture, which is too light a word, an incredible outpouring of love and hospitality and Christian generosity that just said, we are so happy and blessed that you are here. And everywhere we went in the 9 days we were in our companion diocese, we were greeted just that way. Lines of people singing us as we arrived into town, welcoming us. It was incredible. And Gerard, the bishop of that diocese, said to me as we were bouncing around some dirt road, not having had a proper shower in days because there's no clean water. You know, they boiled our water all day just so we could bathe in it. That's the status of water there. No random electricity and so on. He looked at me one day as we're bouncing along a sweaty and muddy, and he said, "No, Mary, you have stamina." So I guess I have stamina. I think now I proved to myself that I have stamina. Covering all this way. He said, "Other bishops have come here, but they never come back. And we're scheduled to go in the summer of 2011, and it's really important for me to go back to say, we do not receive this lightly from you, this outpouring generosity and love, and what an incredible gift to be welcomed into Christian fellowship and friendship in that way." I did say to him, too, I think when you come on your partnership visit, we won't quite do this at San Francisco International. We did pretty well. It's not our culture. But after that experience, I understood Palm Sunday so much better. And I understood that event of those people greeting Jesus as he arrived in Jerusalem. And in hindsight, you know, we've loaded onto the story that the Savior is coming and we're processing him to the cross. But those people as they encountered Jesus, wanted to pour themselves out to him. And I'm sure, you know, they had all the same questions and theological ruminating that we do in the church, and people certainly outside of the church do. And just looking at Jesus and saying, who is Jesus? Who is this man? Or looking at him and saying, this is God. Or looking at him and saying, he's someone special and holy, and he is an agent or a messenger of God. You know, and all you've got three options there that represent just three of the things that when people look at Jesus, they wonder about. And as he entered Jerusalem, at the very least, they knew there was something incredibly special about this person. And that he brought them something of God. He had fed them in miraculous ways. He had healed them. He had been present to them. He had included people who otherwise would never have been included in a Jewish life, in any kind of communal life at all. And they could not help but humbly pour out their praise and adoration for this person about whom they wondered, about who they greeted as an agent of God, or who they bowed down and said, this is God. What an extraordinary moment. And we reproduced it a little bit, but as we move through the liturgy, sometimes we're busy managing our booklets and our prompts and all that, but just for a moment, imagine yourself on that road. Jesus just kind of laughs, doesn't he? He's like, look, if the stones could sing, they would sing. I don't think you're going to stop this. It's not going to happen. There's too much of a momentum going on here for them to stop. After this section that we heard from the Gospel of Luke outside, there's a gap, which the translators left for some reason. But then there's another beautiful monologue of Jesus that says that he goes and he looks out at Jerusalem after the Pharisees have said to stop, and he looks out at Jerusalem and he weeps and he says, oh Jerusalem, especially you Jerusalem, if only you understood the source of peace. If only you understood the source of And as he weeps, and then we hear in the Passion Gospel, he says to the women, don't weep for me. You know, weep for yourselves. And Jesus has wept for them. You know, only to understand the source of peace. And those people are bowing down to worship Jesus because they experience him in some way or another, that physical healing, being fed, or being included. They understand him as peace. And that he has welcomed them in to the source of peace, to life with God. But he speaks to the whole city, and there's something profound in that too. You know, in our highly individualistic society, we think about it as our own personal inner peace. But Jesus is saying to the city of Jerusalem, which is meant to be a sign, an icon of God's presence in the world, Jerusalem, I wish you understood the source of peace, not only for your own joy and well-being, but because of your call to say something of God in the world. And certainly this Holy Week, as we enter it, as we now enter this story of salvation. And what a profound story it is. We've just heard it read beautifully. Profound story of God traveling all this way, if you will, to get over our gap, to get over the fathom, the chasm, the breach between us and God. And Jesus comes, as our Philippians text says, all this way, taking on the identity of a slave and being a complete servant of God for the very purpose of coming and saying, know the source of peace. Know the source, right up front and close, of your healing, of your feeding, of your satisfaction in life, and of your source of being. And all the way to death and beyond, Jesus travels as God, as God's messenger, as the one who stands about whom you can ask such questions as, who are you? Does that for the sake of such deep and passionate love for us, God's world of creation? And God wants us to know that as individuals and as we travel through the story this week, ponder the source of peace, of your salvation. That word means wholeness, salvation, wholeness. Ponder the source of your wholeness. It is God, it is Christians who say, we know this in Jesus. We know this in Jesus. But it's so important for us not to just name that as individuals. Our presiding bishop, Catherine, a few months ago said, the great American heresy is individualism. You can roll that around this week. Because we as the church, we are not just a collection of individuals. And I think especially in the Episcopal Church, because oddly, because we're so inclusive and we want to draw people into the body, sometimes we think about what we do in a very good work sort of way. I feed people because Jesus fed them. I reach out to people because it makes me a good person. But our corporate identity as the church is that we are the body of salvation. Doesn't mean we're all fixed. We haven't got the wholeness thing figured out totally on any given day. But we understand ourselves to be a sign, a symbol, an icon. See, to our community and to the world that says we know the source of peace. We don't always get it quite right, but we collectively know it. And we find it in Jesus. And in our church especially, we say, come and ask your questions about who this Jesus is. And as we as individuals move through this Holy Week, let us remember that we are the body of salvation as the church. And in every gesture of whatever kind we make, as an individual, we do it as a body. And we're not doing it to be good people, and we're not doing it because Jesus did it. We're doing it to welcome people into the body of wholeness. Into a body that says,